Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, almost Wharf, and online, sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. A fabulous service department that backs it all up. Easy to difficult, they can handle it. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf, online, sunburymotors.com. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. The Dallas Stars go to the Western Conference Final.
Puck underneath the Stars' end line. Worked over to Dodonov. He'll flip it all the way down the ice. First to it is Wyatt Johnston. And a backhand. He scores!
Oh, my!
What a shot! What a shot! Wyatt Johnston upstairs. And with 7:12 left in the third period, how big is that? Makes it a 2-0 lead.
He just turned 20 years old. Comes up with a goal like that, and Seattle scored late in the final minute. Final was 2-1. Stars get the Vegas Golden Knights in the Western Final. East is Carolina and the Florida Panthers. Before we continue on with either information or some fun and frivolity, I want to take a serious moment here. A friend of mine, we go back a ways, Greg Hoover from Mifflinburg passed away on Friday. Greg was 69. He worked at Penn State, outdoors, and we got to meet each other in baseball because I coached his son Kirk in Little League and so forth, and that's where I got to know him. And he was Greg's such a great guy. You know, we did a couple of outdoor pieces for WPSX TV, and Greg ended up in Mifflinburg, and he passed away on Friday. I cannot say enough great things about him, because Kirk, his son, is a tremendous guy himself. And to the Hoover family, I just want to pass along our deepest condolences. So, all right. Okay. Now let's get back to your level of hate. What?
I don't have as much animosity toward this only because, like I said, I don't put all the blame on this particular season on Doc. But at the same time, I don't think he did anything to keep his job. It's kind of very similar to how I feel about Aaron Boone, to be honest with you. But again, if they go down this path with Daryl Morey leading the way of trying to be buddy-buddy with James Harden when he only has 1 year left and it's an option for next year, putting all that eggs in one basket is a, quite frankly, just a very stupid move. Direction to go in. I don't think they will, but I guess you never know because they're considering the lights of Mike D'Antoni, which is beyond me at this point. He's a guy that just needs to be away from the NBA, period. His time in the NBA is over and has been over for a long, long time. Go get Nick Nurse. Say goodbye to Harden. Let him walk. Dump Tobias's contract. I don't care if you get a bucket of balls back. And build around Maxey and Embiid with shooting, shooting, and more shooting, and guys that can play defense. That's my plan for the Sixers. Will they do it? We'll find out.
Hmm. Funny thing is that he's a better coach than the team they lost to.
It's hard to say. I don't know a whole lot about Joe Mazzulla, but I know he made some nice adjustments that worked.
Such as?
Putting Robert Williams in the starting lineup for the final two games. It was much better for them on defense. And it affected the Sixers.
Okay. I guess. I mean, I would have started him anyway, but because I think I even mentioned when we were previewing the series about Robert Williams on Joel Embiid. He's a good defender. I mean, Williams is a good defender, but the Celtics are not a smart team. And I said that last year. I said that last year. You know, they'll go along and they'll do some terrific things. They'll be smart the whole nine yards, and then they will suddenly out of nowhere, they'll have three or four possessions in a row where they'll pass the ball and you're not sure exactly where it was supposed to go. Okay. All right. So you have to have other rants. There has to be something else that, as Joe Paterno would say, is sticking in your craw.
Well, I wasn't totally getting... This wasn't totally bothering me, what happened with Aaron Judge looking at the Yankees dugout last night. But this overreaction by Toronto now is getting under my skin a little bit. Because now they're trying to get the league involved now. I think Aaron Judge was very genuine what happened last night.
You guys are obviously cheating again. Everybody knows. See, that's the problem. Everybody knows you guys are a group of cheaters.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
I couldn't help it. Sorry. Continue.
I mean, if you look at what happened, with the sequence of events, I mean, it seemed pretty clear that Judge was bothered by what was going on in the Yankee dugout. I mean, because this has been a problem for the last two seasons. Aaron Boone has been on umpires. He really kind of started this campaign last year, and he's brought it up again this year, where he doesn't like the low strike zone on Judge. And I think he's right for the most part. I mean, the one strike zone, the one strike call against Judge in that particular at-bat, it was low. I know, I hate when umpires do these things. It's like, just be consistent. That's all I'm asking for. And that particular pitch was low. But at the same time, every manager should just know this by now, even though I think it's absolutely a disgrace for umpires to keep doing this, that you're just automatically going to get thrown out if you don't like the ball and strike call and you argue it. And I think that's just umpires just not having any thick skin whatsoever. I think that's been a disgrace for a while, but that's another topic. But that happens. There was barking before Boone came out. Then Boone comes out, gets tossed. Then there appears to be more barking, and Judge keeps looking at the plate. And obviously it didn't matter because he had a home run. It was 462 feet. So I genuinely think that's what happened. Toronto's trying to say now all the position coaches were in a weird spot. Position coaches can't see what the signs are. I mean, what world are we in now? Position coaches are at first and third base. And then you have other coaches in the dugout. Unless you are like the Astros or other teams that film these things, you're not going to take anything from there. So, enough. Move on. You lost the game last night. Aaron Judge had a moonshot of a home run in that particular at-bat. Move on.
I'm not surprised he homered last night at all. It's a regular season game, and you know the pressure isn't as great. What's his average in the postseason? Is it 211? It's kind of low.
Yeah, it is a little low.
A little. You need to find better heroes.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
I mean, now they're looking at the dugout because, like, they don't know what pitch is coming, and they now they're, you know, they need the bench to tell them.
F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells founder!
And by the way, I didn't even see the home run. I didn't even know anything about it, to be honest with you. So, no, I couldn't tell you in a million years. Never saw the play. Nothing.
And Aaron Judge had a pretty good point, too. At that point, getting into that at bat, it was 6-0 Yankees in the 6th, 7th inning, whatever. No, 8th inning. It was in the 8th inning. 6-0 in the top of the 8th inning. The Yankees were dominating the game. So, I think he had a point that Aaron Boone didn't really need to make a scene out of it because the Yankees were up 6-0. If it's a 6-5 game, then yeah, go out there and make noise about it. But when it's 6-0, it's not worth it. And that's, I think, that was the point that Judge was trying to make.
It's May. I really don't care what point he's making. All right, so here's one for you. Make a point in October. All right.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Sorry, well, let's make a point. It's May. No. No. You guys need to start making points in October.
I don't disagree.
Right? Because, wow. He's already been on the IL once, right?
Yes. This has been the only time so far.
Season's young. All right, let's. I want to get into the ACC meetings are continuing right now at Amelia Island. You notice I never picked Bismarck, North Dakota. Hey, let's have our meetings. Hey, let's go to Bismarck. This segment, by the way, brought to you by the Bismarck, North Dakota Chamber of Commerce.
Oh my almighty!
But they are they're meeting there, and now there's all this hoopla around the possibility of, well, I don't know what they're calling themselves, the Magnificent Seven or something.
Oh yeah, this is all that is also nauseating to me.
But there's some common sense that I want to talk about with that, and we'll do that in a moment. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
The only reason why you don't play the Sixers song anymore?
Sadly, that's ship has sailed for the season.
Oh, darn. Wow. It was worth every shot Tatum hit. All right, so...
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
Can't stand listening to that stupid thing. All right, so... let's get to these league meetings. Yesterday, we talked about the Big Ten discussing scheduling. And now the big story that's been running around has been, will the ACC stay together? So I am not going to... Now, have I talked to some people in the last 2 months about this topic? that would have more knowledge than me? A couple, yes. Have I talked about it on the air? No. Because I didn't really feel like much was going anywhere. But I do want to talk about this, and I do not have any direct knowledge at all when it comes to the ACC as to whether, okay? But I want to take this from a common sense point of view. Let's try that. So let's start with, where's the money coming from? Because now they're talking about, will the ACC break up? Will Florida State go here? Will North Carolina go there? It's not as if Florida State doesn't have a point in their athletic director that if you're $40 million less per school, in 7 years, Rutgers will get $280 million more than Florida State. Okay? Now, if you're Florida State and you're 15th as of last year, 15th in average television audience per game, and Rutgers is 65th, averaging just 615,000 viewers a game. And remember, that includes games with Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan. It means the other games they're playing, they're driving it into the ground. Okay? But you're sitting there and you're looking around saying, Rutgers is going to get $280 million more than we are in the next 7 years? So do I blame Florida State for feeling this way? No. Do I blame their athletic director feeling this way? No. But there's a common sense part of this that's really important, I think, that does need to be discussed. And where's the money going to come from? The TV networks have just about tapped themselves out in this recent wave of contracts. And there's still, and I pointed this out before, and I'm going to keep pointing it out, there's still one big one left that everybody wants a slice of, and that is the NBA. If you are ESPN, are you going, hey, can you come back and negotiate with us? They're going to look at you and go, no. We already have a deal with you. I'm not going to give you more money. So the ACC, their numbers are set. So there's no reason for ESPN to even, like, don't even bother inviting them to the table because they're going to look at you and go, we have a contract through 2036. We're done. Now when it comes to adding schools, Fox went all in on the Big Ten. CBS took its savings from losing the SEC contract and then rolled in some extra money and then made their bid and they got the Big Ten. NBC took their savings from no longer having the NHL, then rolled in more money and then bid on the Big Ten. Right? They have their deal set. Why are they going to give you more money to add in schools? If I'm a TV network, I'm not giving you any more money to add in schools. You want to add in more schools? That's your problem. You divide it up any way you want. We have a 7-year contract. I'm not going to give you more money. Why would I? That makes no sense. I'm sitting there and I'm Fox. I have 61% of the Big Ten network, plus over-the-air Fox and FS1. I want a bid for the NBA. I've already got my deal. I have a signed contract here for 7 years. However you want to divide up the money is your business. But why would I want to give you more money for adding more schools? From a business point of view, because it would be good for the conference? I already have a 7-year deal. I was good for the conference. I gave you more money, right? I gave you money in the 6-year deal that you did not have before at $240 million a year. Right? And now I've given you more money in a 7-year deal. And I helped negotiate the deals with CBS and NBC. Why am I going to give you more money? Explain to me why, as a business, I would do that. If I'm NBC and CBS, why do I give you more? Oh, we got Washington and Oregon. That's nice, divided up by 18, but we already have a contract. Why would I give you more money? You think the Big 12 is going to get more money if they add schools? Like, if you're ESPN and Fox, you're like, we have a contract. Unless there is a clause in there, like the Notre Dame clause with the Big 10, you're just dividing up the money more ways. See, that's the part I don't think, for some reason, people don't, I don't think can grasp. Why would a media company give more money? And what's your alternative? Is your alternative to go to streaming to get the extra money? What does that do? Now I'm taking games away from BTN to stream. That's the part about this I don't quite grasp. You have media companies laying people off. I mean, they're laying people off. And they all want to bid for the NBA, including streaming. Amazon wants to bid for the NBA.